The bots are coming.
Hello everyone, my name is Nick Landry and today I'm going to talk about the Microsoft Bot Framework. Now before I introduce you to the Microsoft Bot Framework, let me first address a couple of really important questions. First, what are bots? And second, why should you care about building them? To answer this, let's take a step back. Computers have been around for a while now, and a lot of things have changed. Sure, computers used to be huge and fill entire rooms, but what's more important is what kind of software we've been writing for these computers, and how users interacted with them. With mainframes, the software was centralized in the main computer, and users relied on dumb terminals to access the software, using only punch cards, keyboards, and monochrome screen to interact. When the personal computer, or PC, arrived in the 1980s, not much changed in terms of interactions. Punch cards made way for disks, but we still mostly relied on screens and keyboards to interact with the computers. The Macintosh popularized the mouse and a graphical user interface, or GUI, and that was a nice step forward. What mostly changed with the PC era is that we moved the software from the mainframe to the microcomputer, which actually fit on a desk by then. In the 1990s, the World Wide Web was born and exploded into our lives. We still use keyboards, mice, and screens to communicate with computers, but we basically rebelled against software that was deployed locally to your PC. We put everything on web servers, and then even more servers, and access everything from a browser, and more browsers, and search engines. It's like we were back to the mainframe era with dumb terminals. Over time, the web apps became more powerful, it could eventually rival desktop software, and that's pretty much the way that people prefer to write software nowadays. Then in 2008, Apple introduced the App Store, a year after the iPhone came out. Suddenly, everyone went crazy for apps, and everyone wanted more apps. Apps on iOS, apps on Android, apps on Windows Phone, and Windows. We also adopted new ways to interact with apps. We used touch, and then we even started talking to our apps a bit. The phones got bigger, we started calling them tablets, and built more apps for them. Apps, 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 apps. Apps went from being nice to have to a point where we now live in a mobile-first world. And behind those apps, well, behind those apps, you have the cloud, connecting every possible device under the sun in a mobile-first, cloud-first world. So let me ask you, is this it? Have we finally arrived? Are apps the final destination? Is touch the ultimate way to interact with software? I don't know about you, but I still use a keyboard and a mouse too. And I can touch my UI in bigger devices now, like my laptop and desktop. We may use keyboards, mice, ink, touch, gestures, but it seems everything still revolves around separate apps. Is there a better way? Yep, there is one. And it's already started making its way into our lives. Digital assistants. From Siri to Google Now, Alexa to Cortana, digital assistants help us do things faster and easier. They also let us do things without apps, like checking the weather or the latest stock prices, reminding us of things, giving us directions, or calling an Uber, all using natural language to interact with them. Some assistants, like Cortana, can even launch other apps by deep linking into them or using them as a background resource to do more than their original programming. So, what if this was the way to go? What if our digital assistants could talk to our apps? And our apps could talk back, like bots. Yes, the bots are coming. Well, not that kind of bot. We're talking about that kind of bot. Bots that have specific purposes. Bots that live in the cloud. Bots that we can talk to via our phones or computers, essentially via any kind of communication channel we already use with other people, like email, text, voice, or chat. Bots can go where no app has gone before, and to make it happen, we'll need a whole new platform. A platform for conversations. Imagine a platform where language is the new UI layer. When we talk about conversations as a platform, there are three parts. There are people talking to people. The new Skype translator is a great example of that, where people can communicate across different languages. Then there's the presence, or being able to enhance your conversations by the ability to be present and interact remotely. And then there's the personal assistants and the bots. This new platform includes a personal digital assistant who knows you, knows about your world, and is always with you across all your devices, helping you with your everyday tasks. And bots with the capability to take the power of human conversations and apply it to everything. We imagine a rich ecosystem of conversations, one that includes people to people, people to personal digital assistants, people to bots, even personal digital assistants calling on bots on your behalf. That's the world that you're going to get to see in the years to come. Think of bots as the new applications that you converse with. Instead of looking through multiple apps or pages and pages of websites, you can call on any application as a bot within a conversational canvas. Bots are the new apps, and digital assistants are meta apps, or like the new browsers that act as the windows into a world of smart bots. In this way, intelligence is infused in all of our interactions. And this takes us to the Microsoft Bot Framework, a framework that lets you build and connect intelligent bots. The idea is to interact naturally wherever your users are talking, whether it's using things like text, SMS, Skype, Slack, email, GroupMe, Telegram, WebChat, Twitter, you name it. Basically, any kind of channel that you use today as a human being to talk to other people, well, you'll be able to use them to talk to bots, all using a natural language. The Microsoft Bot Framework is a Microsoft-operated service and also an open-source SDK. The Bot Framework is one of many tools that Microsoft offers for building complete bot. Other tools also include things like Lewis, which we'll talk about, the speech APIs, Microsoft Azure, and a lot more. So let's dive in a little bit. First, you have to build your bot. Your bot lives in the cloud, and you host it yourself. You write it just like another web service component using Node.js or C#, like an ASP.NET Web API component. The Microsoft Bot Builder SDK is open source, so you'll see more languages and web stacks get supported over time. Your bot will have its own logic. But you also need a conversation logic, using dialogues to model a conversation. The Bot Builder SDK gives you facilities for this, and there are many types of dialogues that are included, from simple yes-no questions to full natural language understanding, or Lewis, which is one of the APIs provided in Microsoft Cognitive Services. Then there's the bot connector. The bot connector is hosted and operated by Microsoft. Think of it as a central router between your bots and the many channels available to communicate with your bots. As I said before, it includes things like text, email, GroupMe, Skype, Slack, SMS, Telegram. You could also do it via a web window where you have a chat control in a web window. It could be directly in a mobile app. It could be using other channels like Twitter or Facebook. And of course, your bot connector is also going to manage a lot of different things aside from routing messages. It will be managing the state of the conversation. You want to make sure that you're not going to have to build stateful web applications because those don't scale very well. You'll have to register your bot. You'll need some kind of bot directory. You'll need to do session tracking so that the conversations can be picked up. Or a user might have multiple conversations with multiple bots at the same time. And it will have per user, per bot storage, and a full set of APIs as part of the SDK. The next part that you'll see that's coming soon is the bot directory. The bot directory is where users will be able to find bots. Just like you use a search engine to find websites, you use the App Store or the Windows Store or Google Play Store to find apps. Well, the bot directory is where you will find bots. Bots that can talk in Skype, in Slack, or any other channel. And you'll find eventually that the same bot can appear in multiple channels, and that's the true value where it can be infused in any part of your life. So, without further ado, let's build a bot. To get started, you will actually go to the bot framework. So, go to botframework.com. This is the main bot framework page. The bot framework is currently in preview, but this is your chance to actually get started early. First thing you'll have to do is sign in with your Microsoft account. If your credentials are cached, it's going to pick it up automatically. Otherwise, simply sign up with your Microsoft account, like Hotmail or Outlook.com, or whatever you use to log into your Xbox. To get started with the bot framework and building your first bot, just click the Get Started button. And then from here, you would see like any kind of bot you would have created before. Since this is your first one, let's see how to build and deploy one.
This is going to give you a quick overview in the documentation on how to build with the bot framework. It's going to give you a quick overview of the many pieces that I've already introduced earlier. You will see that there's documentation for both C# and Node.js. For the purposes of this demo, I will stick to C#. I'm a .NET developer at heart. C# is my favorite language. When you're building a bot using .NET, you're actually using ASP.NET Web API. And the beauty is that we can actually do all of this using Visual Studio 2015 and a nice bot application template. If you don't have Visual Studio 2015, you can get it from visualstudio.com. It's completely free. That's the community edition. And then you will download the bot application template right here. So once you've downloaded, open the folder where it's located, right-click the file, which is the bot application.zip. You can cut that. And then here, what you're going to do is you're going to come and paste it under Documents, Visual Studio 2015, Templates, Project Templates, Visual C#. By pasting the zip file here, you don't have to extract it. You will basically be able to create a new project in Visual Studio using the bot application template. So start Visual Studio. I'm running Enterprise here, but you could be using Community Edition just as well. Once inside of Visual Studio, you can simply say File, New, Project. And then once your templates have been initialized, you can navigate to Visual C# right here. And under Visual C#, scroll down until you find Bot Application right here. Let's say that I create a brand new bot. I'm going to click OK. This is going to create an ASP.NET Web API application for me, which will already have the proper NuGet packages that are required for the Bot Builder SDK. So if I look at my application here, I can see that I've got the standard web.config that I would find in an ASP.NET app. If I open my references right here, I can see that I have my bot connector and my bot connector utilities right here, and I could also add more NuGet packages for the Bot Builder SDK. The main code, or rather the main logic for your bot, is actually going to be in the messages controller right here. So here we're using classes from the bot connector and the bot connector utilities. We already have JSON.NET that's been a reference for us as well. And then we have a messages controller, which derives from an API controller. There's one main method here, which is called the post method, which returns a task. So everything is asynchronous here. And the way it works is that every time something new gets posted to the web application, basically to your bot, you will check to see what kind of message is coming in. You will over time be able to build like multiple message types. Of course, right now, the main message that you'll get is any kind of message sent by the user that does not correspond to what we call a system message, would show up as a message type of message. What this bot does, it's very simple. It simply looks at the length of the message, and then it creates a reply simply saying, you sent this back to the user. Now, below here, we have a way to handle multiple system messages like a ping, or if we have other messages. Right now, we're not doing anything specific for those. So what do you do if you actually want to test your bot? Normally, you would have to create a client application to test this and then start calling it. Fortunately for us, in the documentation right here, there's the main explanation here on how things work. But if you want to use the bot framework emulator to test your bot application, you can simply download it from here. So you click install to run it, and then you can run, and that application after that will be sitting on your machine, and you'll be able to instantiate it from a shortcut. And the bot framework emulator allows you to connect to any bot, and then from there you will be able to kind of simulate a conversation and test to see how does your bot behave. So this is a great debugging tool. So here we see that we're going to ping to localhost 3978. So if you want to see where this is going to get deployed, we have the web.config right here. There's going to be important things that we'll have to use, for example, like the app ID and the app secret. This is how you would control like who is allowed to talk to the bot. For now, we're just going to use the default values. And then what we can do here is we can actually run this natively in Microsoft Edge by running our bot application. So this is going to run under localhost 3978. So I can now come back to my bot framework emulator, and I can start typing, and I can say hello. And then when I type hello, the bot replies and says, you sent 5 characters. And This is really cool. And that's actually more characters. So as you can see, just getting started and building a simple bot is not complicated at all. There's a nice template in Visual Studio. There's a bot framework emulator that's available for you to test your bot. But now, what if you want to build something a little bigger? So let me just show you where you can actually get some great samples to play with your bot. So we're gonna stop our execution here, close our web window, and then in GitHub right here, you can see that we have under the github.com/microsoft/bot builder, this is where all of the samples and the bot builder SDK, which is open source, remember, everything is available right here for you to download. So for example, you can come down to C Sharp, and then under C Sharp, you can look at samples, and then you will see a bunch of samples like the annotated sandwich bot, the echo bot, the pizza bot. That's the one that was demonstrated at build. And then there's more code that was demonstrated at build included here, including alarm bot, echo bot, and everything. So go to the top. You can either download a zip if you want, or fork it, put it in your own GitHub repository, and then clone it down. I've already done this. So what I'm going to come and do here is come and load the main bot builder SDK right here. So what this is going to give me is I've got access to full documentation, and then under samples, you get to see all of the samples that I was just outlining here. So the first sample I'm going to show you is the simple Echo Bot. The simple Echo Bot is actually not complicated at all because in the messages controller, all it does is basically it repeats whatever the user sent in. This one actually shows you the basics of using a dialog, which implements the iDialog interface. In this case, this is an echo dialog. We call it echo because it repeats what it gets. And a dialog means that you can have like a back and forth between the user and the bot. And the beauty of this is that all the dialog and a conversation are stateless because the context is actually going to be passed back and forth. So this way, you can actually run a bot completely stateless on a server, and you can pick up a conversation where you left off just by providing the proper context later. So here we have a start async, and the first thing that we do in this is we immediately wait for a message. Because that's the beginning of the conversation, this will immediately resolve, and then it will call message received async. And under message received async, all it will do is basically extract the message from the arguments. And then it will simply call the context and post asynchronously saying, you said this message. And then we call context.wait and we wait for the next message. So we post a reply and then we wait for the next one. So if I want to run this bot, of course, what I'm going to do is first select the simple Echo Bot and set that as my startup project. Because this is a web application using Web API, I can now run it in Microsoft Edge. Once the bot gets instantiated in Edge, then I can finally call the Microsoft, right here, the bot framework emulator. So let's see what we're running on 3984. So let's just change the URL here to go to 3984 API message. And then in this case, it will actually reset the conversation because it knows that this is now calling a different bot. So now if I say hello, then it will reply, you said hello. Are you saying what I'm saying? And of course, it will repeat the same thing. Even if you make a typo like me, it will actually repeat the typo. So that's the simple Echo Bot. Now, if I close this, the next one I'm going to show you would be there's of course a more advanced version of the Echo Bot right here. So this one is actually going to use a more complicated dialogue. This one is actually going to allow you to provide like a command, like for example, if you want to reset a counter. So in the message received async, we'll actually check to see, first of all, is the message text reset? Because what it does is every time we're posting, we're basically incrementing a counter, and then we say, you said this, and we're going to preceding this with the number of the counter. So this way you can kind of see how the conversation continues in the bot. But of course, if we send message text equals reset, then the first thing we're going to do is we're going to put a prompt dialog. Of course, this is not your traditional dialog box that would pop open in a window. This is going to be a chat-based dialog. So we are asking for a confirmation, and these are some of the facilities that are pre-built into the bot framework. So here, we're simply asking the user, are you sure you want to reset the count? And if we get an error, we'll say we didn't get that. And once we get the proper confirmation, we're going to call after reset async. And after reset async right here, we check the arguments, we get the confirmation out of it. If we got our confirmation, then we set the count back to one, and then we tell the user, well, the reset was count. If we did not get the confirmation, so if the user answered something else, or basically answered no, then we will say, well, we'll post async, we did not reset the count. So now I can run this sample EchoBot right here, set that as my startup project, run this, and then I'll be able to debug it again with our bot framework emulator. Now we are on 43.8.58. So let's go change the port number right here, 43.8.58. There we go. Let's click down here. And now if I say, for example, hello, then it says one, you said hello. And then if I ask, how are you? Of course, my bot doesn't really have more features right now. It's kind of like the Echo bot, but it remembers the numbers. See right here, you said, how are you? And then, oh, I see you are counting. So the cool thing is remember. Now, it knows how many steps have been going on in the conversation because that count is actually part of the context. This is not a stateful web component. This is completely stateless on a server, so it scales really well. Now, at this point, if I say reset, if I type it properly, of course, then it says, are you sure you want to reset the count? So now I have the option of saying yes or no. So I can say, for example, no, and then it tells me I did not reset the count. So if I say, what is the count? Then I know that it did not reset, so now I'm up to 4. But if I say reset, and now it says again, are you sure you want to reset the count? If I say yes, it says the count has been reset. And then if I'm not sure and I ask, oh, really? Then, yep, you said, oh, really? And that's count one. So the count was reset. So this is how you can actually carry a conversation with a bot, pass some context around, make sure that you maintain state without actually having state on the server. Going back to Visual Studio, the last bot that I'm going to show you is the alarm bot. So if I look at the alarm bot, if I open the messages controller, you'll see that right here, all it has is in the post is basically initiates a conversation. It says send async on the conversation and instantiates a new simple alarm dialog. The simple alarm dialog has its own class. And then right here, you can see that there's a reference to a Lewis model. Lewis is for Language Understanding Intelligence Service. This is part of the Microsoft Cognitive Services, formerly known as Project Oxford. Here we have like a unique identifier and an access key for it, because this is actually a separate service that you have to register for. So Lewis is a service that lets you make requests using natural language processing instead of having very specific commands. So this way, a user could interact with your bot using more like free-flowing language without necessarily having to cover all the contingencies here. So to do this, for example, if I go back to my documentation here, there's going to be explanations on how Lewis works. So you can say how to set up Lewis right here. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to open right here to go to Lewis. I've got some simple bots that I've created. So I'm working on the bot for the Maker Show. Great show on Channel 9, by the way. You should watch that, themakershow.io. I'm also working on a home automation bot where I'll be able to turn on lights and things like that. So in order to use this, for example, my home automation bot right here, it actually recognizes things like a light state and a location and even a temperature. So if I say, turn on the lights in the kitchen, if I check that, it actually detected that kitchen is the location and on is the light state. Because I could also have said turn off the light in the kitchen. So this is a sentence that I've actually already pre-programmed before, so it had automatically detected that this is the right one. That's why it's got a confidence factor of 1. What if I had said turn on all of the lights in my kitchen? I have not programmed this phrase before. So I can actually press enter on that, and it actually still sees it as a toggle light with a confidence of 1. And then here I can say For example, flip on, I actually did not program this, I'm not sure what it's going to return. I can say flip on all the lights in my kitchen, and then here it did say that it's toggle lights, one in confidence, but it didn't actually recognize on right here. So I can now click on and say this is the light state. So I'm kind of training the system, and now I can submit this utterance in the system, and I can even train it further so that now it will be able to recognize those sentences afterwards. So by using Lewis from a conversation as a dialogue, basically using the bot framework, you will be able to simply rely on the Lewis model for the user to use whatever natural language they want. Now, instead of building a custom model in Lewis, we can actually use Cortana pre-built apps. So with this model right here in English, I can actually use these keys right here. So this is my ID and my key. So if I come and use these, then I will be able, so 26E to 0E6, I think that's the one I had in code. No, I will actually have to go and copy this one. So let me copy this. I will copy the link and then in Visual Studio here, just to make it easy, I'm going to come and paste this right here. I'm going to delete this one. I'm going to grab the key. And I'm going to come and substitute it right here. And because, of course, this is the same identifier, C413, I actually don't need the rest of this string. So I can delete the rest of the link right here. So now this is actually going to call my Lewis model. So now what that means is I can actually call simple commands for an alarm using Lewis. And what this does is it basically has multiple ways of handling the conversation. Like, for example, it will try to find an alarm for me. And then none means that I did not understand. So every time you get the task that is none, this is where you handle all of your those generic messages that the users might be sending. And then I might be able to delete an alarm or find an alarm. And then I would be able to set an alarm here. So of course, now before I can run this sample, I'm going to have to switch to the simple alarm bot as my starter project. I'm going to run it in Microsoft Edge. I'm at 3979 right here. You'll notice all the samples have different ports. So we're starting over. So this bot basically lets you set an alarm. So I can say set alarm to 7:30 a.m. And if I set it, it tells me alarm default at 4/21/2016, 7:31 a.m. Of course, it would have created it like in the morning. In this case, I'm recording this in the evening. But now I can ask a question like, when is my alarm? And then here it tells me it found an alarm at 7:30 a.m. Let's say people are typing fast. I can say, when is my alarm? There you go. It actually found the alarm. So there's no way that I would have pre-programmed this, but Lewis is smart enough to know there's common mistakes, analyzing, and it's not like going to have like full confidence. It's not going to give me a confidence of 1. It might have given me a confidence of 0.86. But if the next command in line, like for example, like deleting or something, had a confidence of 0.42, it's still going to go with the highest confidence command here. So here we can see the task set alarm is supported. We can see alarm snooze is supported, time remaining is supported, and turn off alarm and after confirming, and alarm other. I hope this gives you a good introduction to what you can do with the bot framework and how you can actually integrate Lewis for natural language processing. Go and have fun with these samples. There's the pizza bot that was demonstrated at build that's right here. And this is a great way of building applications because ultimately one day bots will be replacing apps. I hope you found this demonstration of the bot framework useful. If you want to dive deeper, I strongly encourage you to go watch some of the build sessions that are available online. If you're interested in digging more into bots and into Lewis and cognitive services, you can check out sessions like Building a Conversational Bot from 0 to 60, Microsoft Cognitive Services, Give Your Apps a Human Side, and Microsoft Cognitive Services, Build Smarter and More Engaging Experiences. If you're more interested on the side of speech and Cortana and how you can integrate Cortana in your apps, check out Personal Assistance, the new context-aware digital runtime. There's also another great session called Cortana, learn how Cortana's new capabilities can proactively drive user engagement with your apps. And then Cortana Futures, step-by-step on how to teach Cortana to proactively engage
with your app. Beyond that, make sure to check out the Cortana Developer Center. And I also maintain a page on my blog called my master dev resources page on speech and Cortana at ageofmobility.com/Cortana. For more great learning and great courses, check out Microsoft Virtual Academy, where over 3 million students have already discovered hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of free courses completely available to watch online. Build your own learning plan, start building your own skills. So basically, during your lunch hour, instead of watching cat videos on YouTube, just go ahead and watch a cool course on MVA. And after the end of the week, you've got a whole course knocked out in new skills to add to your resume. Speaking of Cortana, check out my MVA course that I recorded last year with my colleague Jeremy Foster. It's all about how to use the Speech SDK and Cortana inside of your application. That was recorded for Windows Phone 8.1 and Windows 8.1, but all of the material is still relevant since all the techniques here have all carried forward to Windows 10. If you want to learn more about Windows 10, you can check out, of course, some of the sessions from Build that I've already outlined, but you can also check out this episode of Visual Studio Toolbox with my good friend Robert Green, where we actually go over some of the new features in Cortana that were introduced in Windows 10. So thanks a lot for joining me today. All the code that I've demonstrated today is actually available on GitHub in the main Microsoft GitHub repository. My slides are available on SlideShare. Contact me and let you know what you build. I'll be happy to help you promote your apps or your bots. Good luck and have fun. Bots are here to stay. Remember, bots are the new apps.